But John 3:16 reads, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it." One of the thoughts that I had, or I should say that God gave me, because none of this is my own thinking, is that too many believers, they think that concerning their healing, they think that God's word may be true, or his word, well, it might not apply to me in this particular situation because. And tonight's objective, this session's objective, is to get us to realize one of the, what I consider one of the main things that we need to realize about our healing, and that is that God's word is absolutely true, and it has never, ever failed. Everybody say, God's word, has never, ever failed. And look at your neighbor saying, he's not going to start with me. Okay. So it's very important that we get that revelation, because things happen in life, and the enemy will make sure, the enemy will make sure negative things happen, because he wants to cause you, to cause me, to think that God's word sometimes fails. But I don't remember ever reading any biblical account or commentary about anyone speaking a word from God in faith and nothing happening. I don't remember any. You know, if you know one, please let me know. But God's word is a never-failing remedy for everyone, period. There are no exceptions. Anyone who would dare believe God's word will see the results of it. Amen. Period. God doesn't discriminate at all. Turn to Isaiah, please. And I know you know all of this, but don't go to sleep on me. Just stick with me. Because right? You know me, I'm not going to leave until I get my aha. I'm going to get a revelation from God. Okay. Isaiah 55. I'm going to read verse 10 and 11. This is in the King James. God said, "For as the rain cometh down," and we've had some rain come down the last few days, okay, "and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Now, some folks have a problem with "it will accomplish as I please," because they think, well, he's not pleased to do it for me. So I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. It says, "Just as the rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth." The rain's going to come and snow, but they're not going back to heaven until they've accomplished what they were sent here to accomplish. It says, "doing their work of making things grow and blossom." And that, I just saw this, that's an indicator that God's word, when God's word is involved, you have a right to expect things to grow and blossom. Because it says so right here. They do their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed. That means it should always be a good outcome. Producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry. So will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. So whatever God said to us is never going to return to him empty-handed. whatever God said to us is going to cause something to grow and blossom. He said, they'll do the work I sent them to do. They will. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. So no matter what comes, whatever word it was God spoke, will do the job he sent that word here to do, period. And it doesn't matter what shows up in opposition. We got to get that revelation, folks. Now, let's go with me to Jeremiah 1. If you want to know why I pray the way I pray, it's because of what God gave me in Jeremiah 1. This is verses 11 and 12 in the Amplified Bible. This was one of my moments, okay, today. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, a branch or shoot of an olive tree. And the olive tree is the emblem of alertness and activity, blossoming in late winter. Say late winter. Then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. And I'm thinking, okay, there has to be something significant about this almond tree. Otherwise, why would the Bible mention it? And so I stopped what I was doing, and I did some research, because I wanted to find out what's the deal about the almond tree. And I came across, I was reading several articles, and all of them were good, but they weren't it. They didn't do it for me. And I came across an article by the executive director of an organization called International Christian Embassy Jerusalem. I don't know who they are, but this is what the director said, executive director. It's amazing to see a beautiful almond trees blossoming all over Israel every winter. Listen to this. They are the first tree to blossom and yet the last to bear fruit. How many of you knew that about an almond tree? Yeah, I didn't either. They're the first tree to blossom, which means they're blossoming sometime in the spring. But they're not bearing fruit until winter. Okay? Think about that. The almond tree is associated with one of the earliest prophecies of young Jeremiah. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I'm watching to perform my word. This prophecy uses a play on words that carries a vital truth for Israel as well as for us. The Hebrew word for almond, sheked, is also translated to watch. By seeing the almond branch, God assured Jeremiah that he's watching over his word to bring it to pass no matter the passage of time. He's saying no matter how long it takes, no matter how long it takes, God is going to stay there and make sure that his word does what it was sent to do. Now remember, we're talking about an almond tree, the first tree to blossom, the last to bear fruit. God's letting us know that we have to exercise some patience. His word is like the blossom. It lets us know that everything is in place for our healing to manifest. Everything. We just need to be patient and let his word do what he sent it here to do. I could say class dismissed right here. Okay. But there's more. I found more. It also tells us that he's not going to be dormant. God is still going to remain alert and active, and he's not going to take his eye off of his word until it does what he sent it to do. Period. He's right there. When you think God doesn't know, he not only knows, he sees. And as he sent his Holy Ghost to tell you, just relax. Just be patient. I got this. Didn't I say I sent my word and healed you? Didn't my word come in the person of Jesus? So you were healed. Because didn't Jesus come back to me? And didn't I say that my word will not return to me until it accomplishes everything I sent it to accomplish? Well, the word went back to God. So guess what? Everything he was sent here to accomplish was accomplished. That's why he could say on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. I could close right now, but there's still more. Look at Proverbs 4. And I got to remember never to highlight blue font with green. Verse 20, 22, Passion Translation. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then, as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health to the very core of your being. We're talking about God's word, folks, that never fails. Now, that should start to give us some indication as to the potency of God's word. Just how strong it is, just what it's capable of doing. And then understanding that as we unwrap God's word, it imparts life to us. Not just to us, but it said to the very core of our being, deep into our spirits. It imparts life there so that we have something to draw on. So we have something, you know, to push with and to fight with. So that we have something on which we can stand no matter what comes. But we need to know that. And we have to allow God's word to fill our heart. We have to give it our undivided attention. Seriously, our undivided attention so it can fill our heart. And to do so means that, I was talking about this earlier during Hour of Power, we have to empty our hearts of everything that has nothing to do with God's word. And why? Because we want our heart to be filled with God's word. And if there's something else in there, your heart's not going to be filled with God's word. I mean, your heart will be filled, but not filled with God's word. It'll be filled with a conglomeration of stuff that's not designed to help you, that's not designed to bring you health, that's designed to be a filler, designed for you to keep some of God's word out. And the problem, when I think about it, is that I don't know which part of God's word I'm going to need at any given moment. I don't know. The enemy isn't going to come to me and say, okay, you better read Proverbs because I'm coming. He's not going to give me any indication. He's just going to come after he's allowed me to be so distracted that I'm empty of the word or that my mind is on other things. And I'm not thinking. So we have to empty everything out of our heart so there's room for God's word to fill our heart. See, I know nobody here has ever done this, but I did. Is that I allowed myself to waste my time filling my head with information and intel about hypertension. I knew everything. I knew it. I knew its reputation. I knew its victims. I knew how many it took a year. Okay. I knew all of the side effects. I knew all of the symptoms. I knew it all. And I'd feel something. I'm like, okay, here it comes. Here it comes. Yep, that's what it does. And what I didn't do is take the same amount of time and fill myself with God's word. I knew God's word. Well, actually, I didn't. I'll tell you why in a moment. That's another. God gave me a couple of good moments today. Okay? But this is... Wait, let me get down to this. Okay. I was so busy wondering why my blood pressure didn't normalize the minute I spoke a scripture. I said the scripture. I even looked it up and read it. Nothing happened. Now, I was at this place in my notes at 5:02. While I was typing out that sentence, God was giving me the answer. And again, as I said so often, I almost fell out of my chair. This is what he said. You were too busy wondering why your blood pressure didn't normalize the minute you spoke a scripture. This is straight from the throne room. He said, because you didn't tend to God's word. Or he said, you didn't tend to my word. You didn't allow it to be unwrapped so it could impart truth, true life and radiant health into every core of your being. And because of that, all you were doing was confessing a scripture and not my word. I was just confessing words on a page that had no life to me because I did not take the time to unwrap his word so it could bring life to my inner being, to the core of my inner being. Instead, I had death in the core of my inner being because I had filled my head with statistics about the invader to the point where I believed that more than I believed the word because I wasn't spending any time in the word. I would take some time and read a couple of scriptures. And there's a difference. And we need to understand that there is a difference. Reading scripture will not help you. Confessing God's word will. But we have to get to the point where we understand that the written word is God's word. It's not just a nice book with good sayings and you know, makes for good marquee messages and stuff. No. His word is health to our bodies. It's life to us. And we have to spend the time to get that revelation so we can act on it. We cannot act on that which we don't know. And I didn't know. And what's so dangerous about that is I didn't know. I didn't know. Okay? I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought, well, you know, God's not ready to heal me yet. Maybe there's a discipline that I have to develop first. And the one that was, what's the word? The one that gave me the most justification. This is just the devil trying to destroy my witness because he knew I was going to be ordained. And so he's trying to discourage the people. And that sounds so holy. You know, and I was very comfortable with that. So I'd have my confession. I'd look at the ministry schedule and said, oh boy, I'm scheduled to minister on this particular day. My blood pressure is going to spike. I'm going to wind up in the emergency room. Oh well, but it's not going to stop me from delivering the word. And I'd wind up in the hospital, and I'd come and stand before you, and I'd say, yeah, he came at me again, and I wound up going to the hospital, but here I am. You know, and you folks were nice and gracious, and you're praise the Lord, hallelujah. You should have been saying, dummy, why do you keep saying that? Excuse me, Pastor Dummy. But I'm sitting there, and he's saying to me, yeah, you spoke a scripture. You didn't speak the word. And I'm like, but the word is a script. No. The scripture is the scripture and the word is the word, and you need to let the scripture become my word because that's what it is. And I sat there and I said, whoa, I never ever thought of that. But see, in order to get to that place, you have to shut off everything that would distract. Everything. That's why you go in your office, you close your door, you put your phone on, do not disturb, or take it off the hook, throw it out, do something, you know. Or you go to a park, go wherever you have to go where it's just you and God's word. And let his word get into your heart. Let his word impart that true life into the inner being of your core, and you'll start seeing tremendous differences in every aspect of your life. Every. 2 Timothy 3:16 bears that out. It says, every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. That means something to me. That means it's not just words written, it's word spoken, because it's the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the paths of godliness. And as you get deeper into the paths of godliness, as you get further into the right direction, you'll start realizing things about the word that you never realized before. You'll start understanding. You'll start getting revelation. Wait a minute. Why am I putting up with this? When God's word says, when Jesus did this, when I have the power to say this, I'm not doing this anymore. And then you wind up walking out, stepping over into your authority. But if we don't spend the time to let the word unwrap like that so that we get it, we'll always see it as confessing scripture. And nothing will happen except we'll get frustrated and we'll know more scripture, but we still won't know how to make any of it work. And so we'll be going, we'll have a loaded gun that we don't know how to fire. So you'll be walking, pointing at the enemy, and nothing's coming out. And you get upset with the weapon. Say, why'd they give me this thing that doesn't work? No, Pastor Clinton said, you have to learn these things in peacetime. That's our first mistake. We waited till we were in the middle of a war to first identify our weapons. I should say identify what our weapons are and then learn how to use them. Let's go back to Proverbs 4. Verse 20-22, it says, my son, attend to my words. That's number one. Number two, incline thine ear unto my sayings. That lets us know there can be some other sayings we could be listening to or meditating on. Let them not depart from thine eyes. That means that we can get distracted and start looking at other things. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. That means you don't let anything else get in its way. And the best way, see, when you want to try and find the center You know, like if this monitor, and you wanted to put something right in the center. The way I'm thinking, why not just cover the whole screen with it? Then I don't have to figure out the center. It's so when I, okay, how much word do I need that it gets right to the center? If you fill your heart with the word, it's going to be in the center. Not only because that's all that will be in there. And when you think about it, is there anything else that needs to be in our heart? Really? There isn't. So why do we get distracted and wind up meditating on other things and allowing them to fill our hearts? See, most of the time we let emotions fill our heart. We let carnal love fill our hearts. And I'm not saying that that's wrong to fall in love with someone, but not to the point where they take God's place in your heart. Amen. Because if you let it take God's place in your heart, you're not going to be the lover you think you are. Amen. You're not. Amen. And you'll start having all sorts of issues because you're focusing on the wrong thing. That's what happened to Adam. Adam didn't want, I guess he didn't want to, you know, to be at odds with his wife. But he had every right, and his job was to tell his wife, no. His job was to tell the serpent, shut your mouth. You know, I mean, I know the song hadn't come out, but he, you know, shut your mouth. Okay. He's like, but I'm talking about, I don't care what you're talking about. That's not what God said. Shut your mouth. Period. You know. But he didn't do that. And we all know what happened because of that. The Message Bible says, listen well to my words. I mean, you need to take time. Like, you're listening to me now. But in order to listen well, you're going to have to download the message and spend it listening to it again and again and again until you get the essence of everything that's being shared. It said, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Period. The voice of a stranger, he will run from. So here's the question. When the enemy comes and tells you you're sick, how come we don't run from it? How come we embrace it? How come we repeat it? Yep, I'm sick. Yep, I am. I'm sick. See, here. I got the paperwork right here. Okay? It says right there, you're sick. I mean, that's... And we're like, hey, they know what they're talking about. They got the degrees. They have, you know. And then if they put the word terminal, that doesn't mean there's an airplane waiting for you. Okay? It says you're terminally sick. We say, okay. Guess I got to get my affairs. And then we ask the question, how much time do I have? That's, oh, 1 year, 6 months, whatever. And we start saying, well, I always, you know, what's that? We create a bucket list. Okay, let me get all these things done. I only have a year, you know. Going to go out with a bang. You need to be banged in your head right now. You know. But it says, tune your ears to my voice. Tune your ears to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He's only going to remind you of the things that Jesus said. He's only going to show you things to come. He's only going to bring all things to your remembrance. All things that God has said. and he will expose the lies. He will say, yes, this is the diagnosis, but this doesn't have to be who you are. And he'll tell you what to do about what they said. I was never a fan of they anyway, because they were always getting me in trouble. Or I say, they say. I'm like, I don't know who are they. I don't care what they say. I want to put the fork on this side. What does it mean? Is it going to say, no, you can't use me? Because no, it doesn't work that way. Made me lose my place. No. Incline thine ear to hear my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep looking at what God has said. Keep seeing yourself walking in what God has said. Let God's vision about you become your vision about you. That's what we have to do. God never sees us as being sick. I mean, yeah, Jesus didn't see Lazarus as being dead. He had to tell the people Lazarus was dead so that they would understand what he was talking about and what was about to happen. Because he didn't say, Lazarus, you know, rise from the dead. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And it's recorded, he that was dead woke up. Woke up. So his spirit heard him. And so he got up. After being dead 4 days. From what I understand, those in medical can confirm, the decomposition process starts the minute you stop breathing. After 4 days, all sorts of things are supposed to be liquefied. So it's the one, so really, waking up is one thing. Getting up is something else. You know, he has his blood has had no oxygen for 4 days. After how many minutes do they say you have brain damage? Yeah, your brain is deprived of oxygen for 3-4 minutes, you can have brain damage. Permanently. He didn't have oxygen for 4 days. And understood the voice calling him out and was able to get up and walk out. That's the type of stuff we need to stay focused on. That's what we need to keep in the midst of our eyes. I already told you about keeping it, but it said, listen well, tune your ears to my voice, keep my message in plain view all of the time, concentrate on it. It says, learn it by heart. What it's saying is concentrate so it becomes your nature. The minute, like the analogy Pastor Sarah gave us years ago, and she asked a simple question, what do you get when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste? And the answer is, because that's what was put in. So when it got squeezed, that's what comes out. So when you get squeezed by symptoms of sickness, what comes out? Yeah. Well, that's what should come out. But too often what comes out is, oh, it's allergy season. You know, my allergies are acting up. My allergies. Why do you want them? Send them to a foster home. Do something. Get rid of them. But we take them in. My allergies. I have a headache. My stomach hurts. You know, and we keep saying that. And why keep saying, well, because that's what I'm feeling. But what has God said about it? Well, I don't know. I didn't ask him. It's just a stomach ache. Well, if it's just a stomach ache, why are you complaining about it? It's got to be more than just a stomach ache. It must be uncomfortable. It must be bothering you. Why are you tolerating it? Because we're reciting scripture and not the word. That's why. And it says here, the reason you do all things is because it brings life unto those who find them. Until you find life unto those who find the words, life unto those who find the sayings, life unto those who keep those in the midst of their heart. It brings life and health to all their flesh. All. See, you've heard me say this before. When I said, go ahead, shoot the mouse with an elephant gun. Every time. You know, unless you want to, you know, to hang a little mouse head on the wall. You know, just who said that because it's so little, you have to use a little tiny weapon? No, I'm going to make sure it's dead. It gets hit with that elephant gun, it ain't going anywhere. If I miss anywhere I hit it, it's going to rip off half its body. And it will surely die. And that's what we need to, that's the only gun we should be carrying. Is an elephant gun of the word. That's it. There's no such thing as overkill. It is a little demon. You know, I'll go eat. No. You blast them out too. What? Because you need to understand something. The devil is very good at deception. And what you think is, how many people can let me say it this way. Does anybody come to mind that left here prematurely with something they said, oh, it was just a little twinge or a little this, and they didn't do anything? And then it turned into be something major, and by the time they realized it, it was too late. It was one of the things I like about my doctor is that he's extreme. And the reason he's extreme, because he's very concerned about my life and well-being. So he's extreme. He's doing what he's supposed to do. I have to be just as extreme as who I am as a believer. And God finds a way to mesh the two. He'll examine me, and he'll say, I need you to take this. And I look at him and say, you're not going to take it, are you? And I smile, he says, I know, you have to pray and find out from the Holy Spirit whether or not you should take it. I said, that's right. He said, well, I'm going to give you the prescription, and if God tells you to take it, you can go and get it filled. That's the arrangement we have. I mean, I respect the knowledge that God gave him, and he respects the word God put in me. And that's a great combination. Great combination. Just recently, they took an x-ray at a dental visit, and they said they saw something in my gums that they didn't like. And I'm like, well, what is it? We don't know. It could be this. It could be that. So what we want to do is we want to send you to have it biopsied. I'm like, how do you biopsy a gum? He said, well, we numb you up, and then we just, you know, cut open and scoop out and, you know. And something just wasn't, you know, like Pastor Ed said, something just wasn't feeling right down here. And, you know, I made the appointment so it would be in the books. And then I said, Lord, I'm not comfortable with this. And he said, go and see an oral surgeon. I didn't question God, but I'm thinking they told me this guy was an oral surgeon. But then I started thinking about it, and he said, well, for one thing, if you do it, have them do it in the office, your insurance company doesn't cover it. But if it's done in the hospital, the insurance covers it. I'm like, get me to the office. Okay. because this was like a $500 procedure. But of course, you know, the surgeon said, well, we need to have a consultation first. I said, no, I'm aware of that. And he led me to a doctor at a particular hospital. I didn't know this person from, but this is where God sent me. And they looked and they examined and they said, I want to do a CAT scan of your jaw. And you know what my next question was? Why? And they said, because, first of all, I've never seen anything like this that's malignant, ever. Not in practice or in books, you know, number one. But there are some other things that can happen that can cause this, and it can be ruled out by a simple CAT scan. So I said, okay. And, you know, God's favor, I showed up at 8 o'clock for a 9 o'clock appointment. By 10:15, I was out of there having CAT scan, everything. They moved me right along, moved me in front of people. Because they said, didn't you say you were a pastor? Yeah. Oh, come on, we're going to get this done. Moved me through all these people. And I got a message yesterday, said, you don't need a CAT scan. There's nothing nasty going on in your gums. You know? Well, I spoke God's word. I didn't speak scripture. I spoke his word. And his word never fails. It never fails. But my point in sharing that with you is I had to that was life to me because I found the word. It was health to me because I found the word. And I let the word be in my heart. I concentrated on it. I learned it. So I could live. I could really live. It's letting us know that we have to be extremists. We have to be extreme about controlling how we hear, what we hear, what we think. We have to be extreme about the focus, the object of our focus. We have to be extreme about what we allow in our hearts. And the thing is, even though when we are extreme, because there are areas in our lives that God wants or requires us to control, God is not going, let's hear me clearly, God is not going to prevent you from seeing things that he knows you shouldn't be seeing. He's not going to stop you from listening to things that you shouldn't be listening to. He's already told you and me what we should be seeing and what we should be listening to and what we should be focusing on. He's already told us that. He leaves it up to us. We have to actually do the work of saying, no, I'm not listening. No, I'm not looking. I mean, our grandson won't look at a Victoria's Secret store. He'll see it coming. He said, I'm not looking at that. I mean, I'm like, I'm not looking at it either. I don't know why that needs to be on display. And I don't care what anyone thinks about it. I don't care. What are they going to call me? A fanatic? A nut? Okay. But I'll tell you something. I'll be a nutty fanatic with true life and radiant health in the very core of my being. I'm going to be so fanatic and so nutty that when you believe the report, you call me. And I'll come over and share God's word with you and help you get the revelation, and you'll become a nutty fanatic just like me. Amen. And you'll be healthy. You say, you make that sound simple. Well, it is. We just have to get over ourselves. And we have to stop saying things like, this is really hard. This is really hard. I mean, with everything going on in the world, I mean, you can't watch television without seeing some of this stuff. Then why watch it? There is, you know, you do have other alternatives. You can watch those DVDs that you never had time to watch. You could spend, you're telling God, God, I need more time to read and study your word. Well, there you go. I told you that, I think it was about last year. I said, I can't use the excuse I don't have any time. Because one day I sat down and there was a program that I liked. And I wasn't home when it came on, so I recorded it. And there were about 6 one-hour episodes. I sat down and watched all of them. Same evening. Then I can't say, well, I didn't have time to study. Oh, we have time. We're just not fanatical about what we do with our time. And the reason we're not fanatical is because we don't want to be labeled a fanatic. But when it comes to God, when it comes to me being healthy, yes, I'm going to be fanatical about it. Because feeling good is a lot better than feeling badly. So I don't care what anyone else thinks about it. I don't. It'll mean that there's some things that you may want to attend. The Holy Ghost will tell you not to attend, and you're going to have to stay away. Now, he's going to not make your car battery die or give you 2 flats or anything like that to keep you from going. His spirit is simply going to say, don't go there. Don't go today. Or you'll say, I wonder if I should go. And he'll say, nope, don't go. And then he just leaves it up to you to listen. Jesus said in John 6, according to the Message Bible, verse 63, every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word, and so it's life-making. But some of you are resisting, refusing to have any part in this. He said, make no mistake about it. Every word I've spoken to you is a life-making word. Where can sickness exist when the person is filled with life-making word? I don't know. Does anyone know anybody whose sickness produced life-making words? No, because sickness is death. Jesus came to bring life, and life more abundantly. So we have to remember that God's word, it's a never-failing remedy. We start wondering, what do I need to do? The answer is always going to be, apply God's word. You can see with natural medication, you have to have a carefully measured dose administered, you know, at the correct intervals. And sometimes, a lot of times, they're negative side effects that you have to tolerate. And they'll tell you when you read the material, they'll say, but your doctor has evaluated you and they feel that the benefits of this far outweigh the potential side effects. And we say we don't have the faith to believe our healing, but we'll read that on the label of a bottle of medicine and put it in our bodies anyway. We'll see all the commercials on TV, and they'll tell you, and they start out by saying, if you have a loved one who died taking this particular drug that you have sitting on in your medicine cabinet because it was just prescribed for you, and we take it believing that's not going to happen to me. That's all of the same type of faith you need to receive the healing that God's word brings. So it's not a matter of faith. You have the faith. It's just misapplied. So, well, how can it be misapplied? Because we haven't filled our hearts with God's word. So it hasn't imparted that truth to the core of our being. So we make wrong choices. We have to get to the place where we understand that just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They will do the work I sent them to do. They will complete the assignment that I gave them. Period. There's no question about it. Just think about the almond tree. Okay. First the flower, last to give fruit. First the flower. But you're going to have to wait to get the fruit of it. You're going to have to wait. Matter of fact, you don't want the fruit that comes too early. Because that's not good for your system. You want to wait until it's full bloom. So if it flowered, there's going to be fruit. How do I know it flowered? You have God's word. That's our flower. That's what lets us know everything is already in place for the fruit to come. How do we know that? Because Jesus is back in heaven. The word returned to the sender. And he didn't go back void. He accomplished everything he was sent here to accomplish. And one of those things was our healing. Amen. Now you have a responsibility. It's the last thing I'm going to share with you this evening about this. And it's in James 1. Passion Translation. Don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it. For that's like the essence of self-deception. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. And I always add to it, because you didn't just think about it, you acted on it. Amen? You've listened to the word of truth. Now it's your responsibility to respond to it. I've done my part. As my spiritual dad, Pastor Clinton, taught me, the sower's responsibility is to sow good seed. The sower is not responsible for the ground. You're responsible for what type of soil the seed fell on. It's your job to make sure it's rich and fertile, so that it will produce much fruit. Amen? Amen. I'm done.